back, and you're listening to Talk with Francesca, and I have with us here today Mark Shaw. He is a former criminal defense attorney and legal analyst for CNN, ESPN, and USA Today for the Mike Tyson, O.J. Simpson, and Kobe Bryant cases. And he's also an investigative reporter and author of 25 books. Yep, you heard that right, including The Poison Patriarch, Miscarriage of Justice, and Beneath the Mask of Holiness. Mr. Shaw has written for USA Today, Huffington Post, and the New York Times Daily. And so I am very excited and thrilled to have him with us here today. So big welcome to you, Mark.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, so why, after 50 years, is the JFK assassination still the greatest murder mystery in history?
Well, you know, I think everybody would have an opinion on that. In my books, I like to let people make up their own mind, but I'll give you my thought is that, you know, JFK, despite some flaws that we all know about, was a charismatic president, looked up to. There was a lot of inspiration for things that he said. No one can ever forget his inaugural address. I mean, he was a bigger-than-life character, and the good looks, all of that. I think that is part of this. The aura about the Kennedys, probably part of it, too. So, you know, if it had been another president, Jimmy Carter or Gerald Ford, some of the other presidents we've had, I'm not so sure that would have shocked the nation and shocked people as much as JFK dying, I mean, at an early age, 44, all of that. And so for whatever reason, it's lingered over the years, what really happened, people trying to find the truth about what happened when JFK was assassinated.
You know, I remember that day. I was just a little girl, and my mother was just crying, and it was unbelievable. I mean, I just never forgot that day, and I was very young. But of the assassination documents released by the government, though, in October, can you pinpoint a few that are helping to unravel the mystery, including dealing with conspiracy theories?
Well, we hope that there would be more. You know, it's hard to understand, really, frankly. 50-some years later, and they still want to hide these documents or redact much of the material in there. You know, when I decided to write the book, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much About Dorothy Kilgallen, and we can talk about why that happened, but, she was a reporter who was after the truth, and unlike many of the other people, including me, that have written about the JFK assassination, of course, Dorothy was there. She was at the Jack Ruby trial. Mm-hmm. All of that is up on the DorothyKilgallenStory.org, proof of Dorothy being there. And what did she see? Well, you know, a lot of those documents that could have been released, show what Dorothy saw that led her to believe that she had basically, in many ways, solved the JFK assassination as the most credible reporter to do so. So you ask about a few things. Well, number one, the most important one, in my opinion, was it was an FBI document that showed JFK telling his subordinates, the agents at the FBI, we must convince the American people that Lee Harvey Oswald and Lee Harvey Oswald alone killed JFK. And, that's what happened back then. You were too young probably to realize it, but J. Edgar Hoover was waving that banner, Oswald alone, Oswald alone. He didn't want anybody to think there could be any conspiracy of any kind. He was protecting himself. If it was Oswald, then, Oswald was a nut and nobody could have prevented that happening. But if there was some sort of a conspiracy or whatever towards killing JFK, then the FBI could be responsible. So that was the most important one in there. And it was most important to me because just 7 days after JFK died, Dorothy Kilgallen wrote her first column, The Oswald File Must Not Close. And she didn't believe that baloney about Oswald alone. And so that was an important one for me to find. The second one that I would point out to your listeners is the fact that there's information in those files that, and as it should be, completely falsify any belief that Jack Ruby just happened to be in the Dallas Police Department basement when Lee Harvey Oswald was being transferred. And I've been able to also substantiate that by finding the Jack Ruby trial transcripts. And there's testimony in there that basically Ruby made a phone call and said, you know, when are they going to transfer Oswald? And then said, I'm going to be there. So I think that takes care of another myth that has always pervaded the JFK assassination. So, Father, I wish all the documents had been released. Some of these are very relevant.
Mm-hmm. Are you disappointed with the government not releasing all the documents?
You know, it's just crazy.
I mean, yeah.
You know, Dorothy Kilgallen died in 1965, and there was no investigation of her death, but despite there being a staged death scene and all kinds of questions about what happened, and there was a cover-up back then. They did not want her to write a book for Random House that she was writing. They didn't want it to be published because she had connected a mafioso in New Orleans, Carlos Marcello, with Ruby and Oswald, and she had really figured out what had happened. And so they had to shut her up, and that's what they did in the book, which is a true crime murder mystery. Sets out the suspects who could have been involved in all of that, but there was a cover-up then. Well, now we're looking at what, 50-some years later, and everybody's suspicious of the government, as you know. There's no transparency there. We never know what's going on.
Right.
And I had hoped that somehow or another, I guess I'm too much of an optimist, that all these documents would be released so that people can take a look at them. I mean, what in the world could they be hiding, that happened 50 years ago, perhaps government corruption of some sort, but still, those documents need to be released.
So which ones do you suspect were not released and why?
Well, again, I would point, because of what happened to Dorothy Kilgallen, who's such an inspiration for women. She was a college dropout who, back then, women weren't supposed to be in the back seat. They were supposed to be in the car behind. And Dorothy overcame all of those gender issues and became a media icon. I mean, the New York Post called her the most powerful female voice in America. And so, you know, I feel like that whoever covered up the death of Dorothy Kilgallen, which we present in the book, as I say, a true crime murder mystery, that same sort of sense hits me that there's some sort of cover-up material in there about the FBI, perhaps even the CIA or something that happened back then that would, not show the government in its best light. And so for whatever reason, I suspect that that's what's being covered up again.
Mm-hmm. Since you wrote The Poison Patriarch about Joe Kennedy as having been a central figure in JFK's assassination, did you learn any new information about his and the documents?
Well, you know, Joe Kennedy was a bad guy. People have to understand the Kennedy, with the Kennedy family, good, bad, and ugly. Joe Kennedy wanted to be president of the United States. He had all the money in the world. And I think for the first time I was able to show that Joe Kennedy did want to be president, and that was his intention. But then he became ambassador to Great Britain, and while he was over there, showed some affection for, of all people, Adolf Hitler. And that didn't get him very good press. And so when he came back to the United States, his chances of becoming president were nil and void. So what did he decide? Well, I'll make one of my sons president. Well, he wanted to make Joe Kennedy Jr. President, but he died. So next up was Jack. And I think what people will find in that particular book and what Dorothy Kilgallen found that's in the reporter who knew too much is that Joe Kennedy really saw a dynasty. He saw Jack Kennedy as president, 8 years. How about then Bobby Kennedy? We'll make him attorney general so he gets a lot of publicity and things like this, and he'll go after the crime bosses and the mafia and everything, despite those same bosses helping John Kennedy get elected in 1960. And then, you know, if that works out, hey, Ted Kennedy's right there and right on down the line. So you talk about power-hungry people, power-hungry family. Joe Kennedy had that in mind, and if history would have been a little bit different, John Kennedy obviously became president, and Bobby Kennedy wanted to, both of them stopped by assassins.
Unbelievable. So many people believe that the deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen are connected. Were there any documents released proving this happened?
Well, you have to look at both of those deaths. First of all, Dorothy Kilgallen. Well, they said that she died of an accidental dose of overdose of barbiturates and alcohol. Many people thought she committed suicide. Nobody back then wanted to look into that case because, as I've proven in The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, there's no question that Dorothy was silenced, that she was murdered, that she was poisoned. There wasn't one barbiturate in her system, as I found out through the autopsy report and new forensic. There were three in there, So she was silenced, all right? So you have her being found in the bedroom she never slept in clothes she never wore to bed. She had on her eyelashes, makeup, and a hairpiece she never wore to bed. So all of that surrounds the mystery, and it doesn't take a rocket science scientist to figure out that, you know, they shut her up. They basically, they murdered Dorothy Kilgallen. Now we look at Marilyn. Well, Marilyn, you know, was found in her bedroom. You know, she allegedly died of barbiturates and I don't know if it's alcohol, but barbiturates. And so there's some similarities there. They knew each other for sure. Dorothy wrote when Marilyn died, as people will read in the book, the whole story hasn't been told here. So she was suspicious of what happened to Marilyn. But to answer your question, I've never been able to find a distinct connection between both deaths. Now, of course, the Kennedy, connection is there because John Kennedy, of course, Marilyn Monroe was his lover. And then when he dumped Marilyn, then Bobby Kennedy took over. So there's that connection in that way. But Marilyn's death is much tougher to figure out because they really messed up the crime scene. And they, you know, there has to be so much speculation there with regard to what happened. Whereas with Dorothy, the evidence is much clearer.
Why do you believe Dorothy Kilgallen's investigation of the assassinations is the most compelling story in history?
Well, you know, that's a bold statement, but, you know, when I looked into this and I did my investigation, I mean, people can go to the DorothyKilgallenStory.org and they will see the evidence that Dorothy Kilgallen was there. She was at the Jack Ruby trial. There is a videotape of her sitting right there with Ruby's co-counsels. There's photographs of her there. She was on the job. She was a great investigative reporter who investigated the Dr. Sam Shepard case, the Lindbergh baby kidnapping case. I mean, she was at the top of her profession, and she was there. And she's the only reporter to have interviewed Jack Ruby twice. She exposed his Warren Commission testimony before it was supposed to be released. So here's the difference. I've written about the JFK assassination. I wasn't there. All of these authors and so-called experts who have written about it, they weren't there. Dorothy was. She was an eyewitness to history, and she had a thick investigative file with all of her material in there for her book she was writing for Random House. Of course, most people remember her from What's My Line, the television show.
Exactly.
But she was, she, and they, you know, I've heard from people all over the world. I mean, it's amazing with this book. It's become a bestseller. We've just signed a deal for it to become a television series based on the book. But most people remembered her as What's My Line, although
right
now they know about the rest of her career. But my point is, she was there. And people can make up their own mind as to what she discovered. But I think for sure she is the most credible reporter that we have. And hopefully I've been her voice and been able to expose some of that information and some of that investigation that she had way back in 1963 when JFK died.
If you're just tuning in this morning, we're speaking to Mark Shaw. We do need to take a short break. We may never know what truly happened in cases like JFK assassination, but we can find comfort at least in knowing that there are people who will never stop looking for the truth. When we come back, stay with us here. Don't try.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you might just want to venture out to Boston this weekend and dine at Terra Mia Ristorante. A true gem among all those rhinestones in Boston's North End, this cozy trattoria with stucco walls and beam ceilings specializes in creative interpretations of Italian classics. Like the cuisines here, the atmosphere is elegant yet understated. Since opening in 1993, Terra Mia Ristorante has aimed to convince diners that there's always more to Italian food than just red sauce. Over the years, the innovative and beloved restaurant has done a great deal of convincing, and best of all, it's reasonably priced. This best-kept secret is worth the trip. Call 617-523-3112 or visit terramiarestaurante.com.
Coffee no longer has to be a guilty pleasure. You've heard that red wine is good for you because of nature's most potent antioxidant, resveratrol. Vera Roasting Company makes the only coffee infused with it. Each cup of Vera's coffee delivers the same amount of resveratrol as found in a glass of red wine without the alcohol, sulfates, or tannins. Years of medical studies indicate that regular resveratrol in our diets promote cardiovascular health, slows the progression of certain cancers, Alzheimer's disease, and type 2 diabetes. Vera Roasting Coffee won double-blind taste tests against the leading coffees. Vera Roasting also offers its delicious heart-healthy coffees with added vitamin D to help ward off the winter blues. You can't get Vera Roasting coffee in stores. You need to go to veraroasting.com. Free and fast shipping is always available. veraroasting.com. Vera like Vera Bradley. Go to veraroasting.com. That's veraroasting.com. Don't try so
hard to move past the moment. Okay, we are back and you're listening to Talk with Francesca. My guest today is Mark Shaw. He is a former criminal defense attorney and legal analyst for CNN, ESPN, and USA Today for the Mike Tyson, O.J. Simpson, and Kobe Bryant cases. Mark Shaw is also an investigative reporter, and he's the author of 25 books, including The Poison Patriarch, Miscarriage of Justice, and Beneath the Mask of Holiness. Mr. Shaw has written for USA Today, Huffington Post, and the New York Daily Times, and we are very lucky to have him with us. So big welcome back to you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Mark, you asked the New York DA's office to investigate the Kilgallen death. What's the update on what's happening?
Well, you know, it's interesting with Dorothy. I've heard from people, as I say, all around the world. They've called her a patriot. They've said, you know, she is the most credible reporter to have investigated JFK's death. How many people have said to me, you know, we wish we had a reporter like Dorothy Kilgallen today? Because, you know, Dorothy was somebody who went out and found the facts and then decided what the conclusion would be. And unfortunately, many of the journalists today do just the opposite. So she was a real woman of integrity. Mm-hmm. And I decided I wanted to be able to see if there could be an investigation of what happened to her, because there was none in 1965. The whole death was just covered up. So in the early part of the year, I sent a letter to the New York District Attorney's Office, Cyrus Vance Jr., and asked them to investigate Dorothy's death. And the New York Post in January, first part of January, I guess, or somewhere in there, announced in an article that was happening. They were doing that. And as I remember, the reporter told me there were 235,000 hits on that particular article. So people remembered Dorothy, and they were so excited that this would happen. So for the next 8 months, I gave the New York District Attorney's Office all of the evidence that I had, both from the book and new evidence, some tips from readers and things like that. And I even went to New York City and met with the chief investigator in June. And everything was moving right along, and we were really hoping that we were going to get this thorough investigation. And in August, the investigator and the assistant district attorney asked to speak with me, and we had this conversation. And right away, I could tell in their voices something was wrong. And they said, Mark, listen, we just can't go forward with this any longer. We haven't really found out anything. We think we've done a thorough investigation, but nothing's been really happening. And I'm sitting there just, you know, my teeth dropping, because I just couldn't believe that that was happening again. And so I kept asking questions about who they'd talked to. We can't tell you that. And we don't believe there really is any evidence pointing to, you know, to murder. We haven't really been able to find that. And so we keep going through this conversation. And toward the end, then, as we're getting done, the one guy says, and Mr. Shaw, you should know, we can't tell who did it. Well, that's completely in conflict with looking into it and not finding out anything that about her being harmed. So, disappointed, I thought, wait a second, I really wonder if they've talked to these witnesses that I gave them and tried to find these documents. So I'd given them names of 25 witnesses and how to find them. Started email and finding out that none of them had been contacted. None of them. And for whatever reason, I don't know if the investigation became too expensive or too time-consuming, or wait a minute, it's 50 years later or whatever, they just gave up. So what I've been doing, I filed Freedom of Information Act requests and didn't get very far with that. We've appealed those. And so one of these days, if they continue to deny me information about what they did during this investigation, which was not thorough, we'll get this into the courts, and I've gotten a lawyer that's going to help with this, and we'll try to find out what happened. But it's deeply disappointing because, again, Dorothy didn't get the justice she deserved here. So I'm going to keep fighting for her. As I said, she was a very inspiring woman, and so many young journalists have found great respect for Dorothy and all of that. So I'm going to keep fighting to get the truth.
What is it about her that makes you want to keep fighting for the truth?
Well, again, you know, I've gained such respect for her, and mm-hmm. so many people have.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, I've heard from one reader who went to her grave in New York there and placed flowers on there, calling her a patriot. You know, she was really searching for the truth, and she was so close to getting that information disclosed, which, in my opinion, would have changed the course of history. Dorothy was on the job, and if you know anything about her, if you ever watch What's My Line, you could see that mentality in her as a prosecutor kind of person, even when she was trying to guess the occupations of these people who appeared on that program. I mean, Dorothy was like that. As I say, she was a woman of the truth. So, you know, I find myself in all my books defending people who were denied justice, and I believe that happened to Dorothy, and so I'm going to keep going to see if we can find the truth about what really happened to her.
Mark, what question haven't I asked you? Or what question would you like me to ask you that I'm missing here?
I don't know really that it would be. I think that, you know, people can make up their own mind about what happened. There was absolutely, maybe this is it. You know, somebody dies, and they say, you know, they died of barbiturates and alcohol. And what disturbs me is nobody came forward to defend Dorothy. There was absolutely no evidence that she had a drug problem or was an alcoholic. And again, on the DorothyKilgallenStory.org, you can see interviews with the people who knew her the best, her two hairdressers, or the woman who saw her on her last What's My Line show, Jack Ruby's co-counsel. They all talk about you know, Dorothy and how sharp her mind was, and that there was no evidence of any of that. But nobody came forward, not her family, not her colleagues at What's My Line, not the journalists, nobody. They believe that because she was working on a JFK assassination, was killed, the same people who killed JFK killed Dorothy Kilgallen, and they're not about to come forward. I mean, a couple of those hairdressers were interviewed in the 1990s, and as people will hear and see in their interviews, they were still scared then. And I've had witnesses who that I've found even in 2017, who I found who had information about Dorothy and what happened to her, who won't talk to me because they're still scared today. So that's, I guess, the thing that you know, I want to make clear is that for whatever reason, you know, when somebody goes after the truth, like somebody like Dorothy Kilgallen,
right,
then they absolutely risk their life, especially when it's as important as the JFK assassination.
Absolutely. Do you honestly believe that one day the truth will be known about who assassinated JFK, or will the government do everything possible in the future to hide that truth?
Well, you hope that at some point, whether it's this leader of the country or somebody in the future, you know, all these documents will be revealed. But I'm gonna stand on this from everything I've found, and I think other experts who have looked at the book and looked at what Dorothy Kilgallen did, her 18-month investigation, it's the closest we've ever come to a common sense scenario as to what happened. Because you know, if you go back to the 1960 election, JFK was going to lose. And Dorothy knew that, and Richard Nixon would have been president. Well, Joe called in his gangster friends, Giancana and Barcello and all those guys, and had them help win Illinois and West Virginia. And the deal was that if they helped him and they won, they'd leave those guys alone when they got in the White House. Well, that's not what happened, because Bobby Kennedy was appointed attorney general. I had witnessed in the Poison Patriarch, who was right there when it happened. Joe, you know, almost forced JFK to appoint Bobby Kennedy attorney general, and he went after those guys. Well, you can't do that. You can't mess around with those guys. And one of them was the person that Dorothy had honed in on, Carlos Marcello, the New Orleans Don, who Bobby Kennedy had deported and was trying to put in prison and all of that. And I think it was common sense. Marcello couldn't let that happen. Well, if he kills Bobby Kennedy, JFK comes after him with everything the government has. But if you kill JFK, Bobby Kennedy is powerless, and that's exactly what happened. Bobby Kennedy never bothered those guys again. So Dorothy had uncovered this information and this scenario that she believed made sense, and that's why they killed her.
The reporter who knew too much, you can pick that up anywhere, I would think, right, Mark?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mark Shaw, thanks so much for being on Talk with Francesca today. It's really been a pleasure. Are there any addresses, websites that you want to share with my listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, thank you. My books, all of them are at markshawbooks.com. And then there's the reporterwhoknewtoomuch.com. But the DorothyKilgallenStory.org, I think that's the corroboration for everything that's in the book, because all of those interviews are up there, and people can look at them, and readers can hear from I.
Hope that you found the show interesting, informative. Shoot me an email. Let me know what you're thinking, feeling. Hopefully I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week.